Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri. Welcome to my podcast, and I have a guest from Godfather of Harlem. She plays Bumpy Johnson's wife. She's absolutely wonderful. Elfinish Hadera. Is that correct?
Yes, nice to see you, Chaz.
You know, do people call you Elle sometimes?
You know, there's so many nicknames. So I have some French friends who call me Elle, which I love because it's okay. So demure and kind of opposite of me, big me. But I mean, it spans the gamut. So there's Ilfie, there's Ilf. Those near and dear to me call me Ilfu, which is a very traditional Ethiopian nickname.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now your dad was from Ethiopia, is that correct?
Yeah, my dad's Ethiopian.
Yes, and your mom was from Eastern Europe.
Well, she's third generation Swede, but she grew up in Vermont. So very different upbringings for the two of them, obviously.
And you know who was on the show before you? Well, right before you, Billy Joel was right before you.
Oh, wow. I'm in your company today.
Yes, and we had Chris Brancato on, who created Godfather of Harlem.
Sure.
And he just raved about you, and we were talking. Yeah, no, he just raved about you. Now, but let's take it from the beginning. You went to LaGuardia High School.
I did.
So you had talent.
Nobody
gets into LaGuardia unless they have talent. I could tell you that.
Well, nobody. I had a little talent, maybe a glimmer of talent, and a lot of help. A lot of acting teachers who really believed and prepared me for my audition.
Wow. And did you enjoy your time at LaGuardia?
Yeah, I did. You know, it was one of those, you know how it goes. You prepare for 4 years. The public can't see you until this big drama festival in the spring. So you have your scenes, you know, freshman year to senior year that parents can come to your junior year of high school or whatever. But apart from that, no one's seeing the work you're doing, but your students and your teachers. And I thought it was great. And we learned a lot. And I had some really wonderful, encouraging teachers. And then my senior year kind of like put a damper on the whole experience.
Really?
I had a drama teacher who cast me in Two Gentlemen of Verona.
Yes.
Not a huge part, but a good part, right? We know no small parts.
Right.
And I had to miss a rehearsal because I had a college visit scheduled up at Smith in Massachusetts.
Yes.
And I got back from my college visit and was promptly fired from the show for missing the rehearsal.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean.
That's a little much.
A little much for a high school student who's trying to prepare for the next chapter of life.
You know what? It wasn't Broadway. Let's relax.
Yeah.
Let's relax here now, everybody.
Yeah. It was my fault.
Really, so much, and you studied at the Harlem School of the Arts.
I did. So that preceded my time at LaGuardia, and I think that really kind of prepared me for the audition and just for what 4 years at LaGuardia would be like.
You know, the amazing thing about you, you know, it's amazing, and I say this, and I mean it when I say this. It's hard to. I hope I don't. Am I sounding sexist? I think I am. Oh God! Oh,
well, just spit it out. You're among friends here.
Yeah.
So.
Someone who is as beautiful as you, who's a really good actor.
Thanks.
Who really is a good actor.
Thank
I
you.
Mean, and I mean that. I mean, LaGuardia, Harlem School of the Arts, and you went to RADA.
Yes, but here, I will interject and say that I did a one-year MFA between RADA and King's College, excuse me.
Right.
And our first day of orientation, the folks at RADA were very explicit in telling us that we were to say that we studied at RADA, not that we trained at RADA.
Wow.
Because we weren't fully matriculated students. So they put us in our place very, very quickly.
Wow. My daughter was one of the first 16-year-olds that they accepted at RADA. And now she was just there for 6 months, if I'm not mistaken. And then she now is at University of Michigan.
Oh, my, for theater or?
Yeah, for theater. Yeah, singing.
Did you love London?
Yeah, she sings, acts, dances, like, forget it. Like,
well, and Dante, too. I mean.
And Dante's a singer, songwriter, actor. He was on Godfather.
The last episode. Yeah.
Both of them will be on Broadway and famous way before their father was. way before.
Way before me, that's for sure.
You know, way before me. So, you know, I always say the biggest thrill of my life will be when someone looks at Dante or my daughter Gabriella and says, "Hey, that's Gabriella Palmateri's father." You know, that's I'm okay with that. But one of your first parts, you got on Baywatch. Is that correct?
I did. I've been working for a little while, but, you know, co-star, guest star stuff. And right. I had this audition for Baywatch and I was like, this is such a long shot that I kind of threw the audition away because I was like, they're never going to cast me. This is ridiculous.
Why would you feel that way?
Well, because, you know, it's you got this big movie and, you know, I'd done a small part on Old Boy. That was my only film credit with Spike right. Lee's remakes of the Korean film. And, you know, I just felt like, why would they cast me? Like, you know, total small fry in this business. And I truly think that my stature probably did it. I thought they needed to cast someone opposite Dwayne who was like, you know, me. So I'm basically the female version of The Rock. So I think where my height usually hurts me, I think it actually finally helped me out.
Now you're 5'11", is that right?
Yeah, I'm a giant.
You're a model.
I love standing next to you because I look up. It never happens.
Oh, well, yeah. That is true. I like being tall, but you were a model for a while, right?
You know, I tried that thing very briefly. I grew up in New York when there were scouts on every corner saying, right. You know, here's my card, you should come in. And I did that. And I had a really kind of sobering experience at like 16. You know, I was like, you know, the thinnest I'd ever been. And this guy scouted me and I come into his office with hope, you know, these hopes and dreams thinking I'd just been discovered. And he's like, you know, sitting behind a desk, looking me up and down, basically telling me that I needed to lose 30 pounds and wasn't going to ask how I did it. And I was like, well, this is not the kind of industry I really want to be a part of. You know, he's basically saying like, you know, do what you need to do to lose the weight, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And wow. I thought, well, this is gross. So that ended that dream very quickly. And it wasn't something that
it wasn't something you really wanted to do.
Yeah.
I mean, but you always, obviously, you went to LaGuardia, you studied young. You wanted to be an actress or something, right?
Yeah, I did. I laugh at it now because I think about, you know, 4 years in the span of a lifetime is a blip. It's nothing. But when you're 16, it's a quarter of your life. So you're like, well, I've done this for 4 years. I guess this is it. I guess I have to do this. I've already like dedicated all this time to it, but I really loved it. And I thought I had something. I thought I was good and it made me feel good to do it. And, so I just that was it. And I kind of went at it like, this is the only thing that I'm going to pursue.
And how did you feel about when you got cast for Bumpin' Johnson's wife, Forrest Whitaker's wife and Godfather of Harlem?
Oh my God.
You must have been excited about that, right?
Oh my God, over the moon. It was not a linear path to the role. There were lots of kind of starts and stops and like, well, you, this is going to happen. And then, well, this is not going to happen. So a bit of a roller coaster. But I just, I found out.
Tell us the moment when you got the part.
So I'm going to try to make this as short as I can. But
no, you don't have to.
Good friend of Broncato's, this guy, David Rabin, who's the most wonderful, generous guy. He's like, you know, these people who are connectors of people.
Yes.
Like, he is one of those. And he's just surrounded by good people and he's just a good person and he wants to see everybody win. I met him, this is a whole nother story. When I was 16 cutting school, he owned this club Lotus, which you probably know, which was in meatpacking back in the day. And I've always been giant. So he thought I was a lot older than I was. And I was, you know, invited to his club at 16. Right. So I've known David off and on for, you know, 20 years or something like that. A little less than 20 years, but he said, look, my friend, Chris Brancato he's, you know, making this show, Godfather of Harlem. Is it something that you're interested in? And I was on another show at the time, kind of had tunnel vision, was hoping that got a second season. And I just kind of was like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm doing this. And then that show didn't get renewed. And I was like, hey, David, how about that friend, Chris Brancato?
Right.
you know, what's going on with that? So I auditioned, I put myself on tape for it. And then I had the chemistry read with Forrest. Didn't hear anything back, heard that it wasn't going to me. And then heard that I was back in the running. And then I get a text in this very living room from David Rabin at like 9 p.m. saying, "How does it feel to be Mrs. Mamie Johnson?" And it was my friend David, who I guess Chris had spilled the beans to.
Oh God.
It was just like, this is, you know, unreal moment of like.
Wow. Especially to work with such a consummate actor like Forrest. I mean, God.
I mean, all of you. I went to Freeze Art Fair with Lucy. People watching probably know that Lucy plays Chin's daughter, right. Stella. And we don't see each other on set, right? Because we're such different worlds. Right. And we just had this moment, this was Friday. And we were like, God damn, we are lucky. And like, we know how lucky we are.
Wow, that's great. No, that's great that you feel that way. Just about life. God. It's good to feel that way.
Oh my God. Just like, you know, this stuff doesn't come along a lot. But
no, it doesn't. Good writing, good actors. No, yeah. No, it doesn't happen. It's always like, the writing's good, but the acting's and the show's bad, but the actors are great. It's always something. But to have this, and you're so great, especially this season, we're really getting to know you even more. I love that last week, the scene you did about when you were, you know, going on Mike Wallace. And
oh, yeah.
You have such a passion for, I could feel it when you do it, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's just you're such a great actress, is your passion for the civil rights, for African Americans. And the way you were doing the scene and talking to her about it, it was like from your soul. It really was. And
I mean, thank you for saying it's, but you know, it in this climate, it doesn't take a whole lot of acting to feel, you know, passionately about this stuff, right? What's going on in the world definitely endowed those feelings in that scene. There's so much in current events is mirrored in what happened in the 60s where we're shooting the show. So
that's amazing that, cause the show was perfect timing for what's going on now and for what went on then. I mean, would you say your father was an influence on you as far as standing up for people and for civil rights and things like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's made his life's work representing marginalized people, underrepresented people, specifically women and young girls who back home, like, you know, there's no autonomy if you're not independent, if you're not making your own living, if you're, you know, not educated. So, you know, education and access to education and healthcare and family planning has always been like priority for him in his work. So he and my mom operated a few clinics in Ethiopia where, you know, access to birth control and contraceptives are really, really like, just like made top priority because, you know, if your schooling gets interrupted at 13 years old because you're pregnant and, you know, there goes your life, really.
There goes your life. Wow.
Yeah. So for sure. I mean, that's all woven in. And I think just their kind of perseverance and unwillingness to quit has definitely rubbed off on even, you know, my pursuit of this profession because, you know, you can't be easily persuaded.
Right. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have an older brother. Yes.
Is he tall too?
Yes. Fit is 6'2". He would have been the best actor in the family, but he was a bit of a troublemaker and he skipped out on his LaGuardia audition. Yeah, seriously, his life would have, you know, he's good. He had some rough years.
That's good.
Yeah, his life could have gone a very different way if he hadn't skipped that audition.
Well, it's funny, but you know, I'm glad that we talk about things like this because I always tell people, when you have those opportunities, it's like a window. You got to go through that window because the window closes.
Yeah.
And then that moment is gone. People always ask me, they always say to me, What is the most important thing about making it? And I go, well, look, I said, it's really not my line. It's Woody Allen's line. I asked him once, I said, Woody, what's the most important thing of success? And he said, showing up. the more you show up, the more things could happen.
Yeah, got to do it. You do. When did you have your mate it moment?
My mate it moment was, well, it was a couple of them. The first one was when I first did A Bronx Tale, the one-man show. And I don't want to get into this because this is about you, but I did the one-man show quickly. I did it at this first time I ever did it in front of people, and everybody stood up and started applauding, and I just kind of was stunned on stage and looked at it, and they kept applauding, standing up, and I walked out of the theater and people coming over to me. Then I walked down the street and I was walking towards my beat up 1972 Honda Civic. And just before I got in, I just screamed as loud as I could. And it was a horrific scream. And people opening up windows thought somebody was, it was just, I think just things just let out of me. Cause after all this time, I thought, okay, I have something now that I wrote that I think I could do. And you never saw the one man show, right?
Oh, never.
Okay. Well, when I do it, I'm doing it now in July. I'm doing a big tour of it. You're gonna be my guest. You bring your husband, come and see it.
Fabulous.
And, well, you come and whatever you want. You'll have four tickets on me in the first rows. And
where are you doing it?
Yeah. Well, first one is in New Jersey, but then I'll be doing it at the Paramount Theater, some big places in New York. Well, if you go to charlespalmateri.net. There's my schedule for the whole this year and next year.
Oh, this is great. I had no idea.
Yeah. And my producer, Michael, wants to ask you a question. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, I'm just interested to hear what you have to say on this. Did you see the statement Donald Glover made about cancel culture ruining screenwriting?
I think I read it. You want to read it to me word for word?
Let me see if I can pull it up. To sum it up, he was pretty much saying that he thinks cancel culture is going to lead to less writers taking risks and experimenting.
Yeah.
And making more boring, more aesthetically based TV shows.
Yeah. You want to know if I agree with that?
What do you think about that?
I think it's absolutely true, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's, obviously they're within reason, you know, but context matters, I think. And I don't think it's up for writers, producers, directors necessarily to police people's access, obviously within reason, you know?
I agree with you.
You want to watch something that someone that makes maybe someone else uncomfortable, it's your prerogative to watch it.
You don't have to watch it. Shut it off. I agree with you.
Yeah, I do.
But when you start like trying to tell people what to write and how to be creative, you can't do it. And that's a big problem. But I do believe, and I from my heart, I do believe that there's work to be done, obviously, in the civil rights. I have always said that. I try to do as much as I can. I go to high schools in the Bronx, and I try to speak to the kids about the saddest thing in life is wasted talent, like the theme in Bronx Tale. And look, you're a perfect example. You know, I'm sure we both don't come from
much,
from much, but we made something out of ourselves, you know, And it's just an amazing thing that think about it. You and I came from nothing, and now we're doing something. And
we're doing it. Great. Yeah. Which is, I mean, you know, on us to pay it forward. You know,
to pay it forward.
Yeah,
that's right. And you know what, Elle? I always remember that, and I know you will. When an actor comes over to you and says, could you give me some advice? It takes 2 minutes for you to say something to them. 2 minutes, nothing. And they remember it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's true.
I got people coming over to me. Oh yeah, you stopped me. I stopped you on Fordham Road many years ago and you gave me this advice. I never forgot it. I don't know who it is.
It costs nothing, right?
It costs nothing.
Yeah.
It costs nothing. So just tell me a little bit about, what do you love about being in Godfather of Harlem?
I mean, gosh, obviously you come in prepared and having done the work and your homework because, you know, things move fast in TV and it's not like a hell of a lot of time to rehearse. You do the blocking and then you go. But it's a lesson, you know, and some of that happens on set, but also some of it happens when I'm watching scenes with you and Forrest. You are such a thoughtful actor. I mean, I watch myself and my my largest criticism in my performances is that I think sometimes the reactions come too quickly. And it may feel like an eternity on set if you're being thoughtful about something, but I think it just, when I watch you, I see you thinking. I see there's real inner life. And I think sometimes with me, that's not always there. So to be surrounded with people who are far more talented and far more experienced than I am, number one, is so valuable. But also just like great pride to be on the show, right? And like, yes. Just like, oh my God, look, I'm part of something really great and really special.
I really believe that. And I think we had a great first year. This is our second year. And I think it's exploding even bigger than ever, even more than the first year. I think Godfather's going to be here a long time. I think people are going to recognize it even more. I think they're going to recognize you even more. Stop being so humble. You're just a little too humble.
I'm not at all. I'm just keeping it real. I'm telling you, I'm keeping it real.
I know. But you are absolutely, you know, just wonderful. It's very, I always said it, it's very difficult for one who is beautiful as you to be taken as an actor, because people just go, she's beautiful. No. Yes. But I know beautiful women who can't act. I know. I don't hire them. I could tell you that right now. But there's nothing more incredibly wonderful than a beautiful woman who has a soul. And you have a great soul. Obviously, you had great parents. I could see that you did, because you have a wonderful soul. It's an aura. People go, why do you like this person? Why do you don't like some people? You like them because there's an aura about them. If they're 30 years old, 40 years old, for 40 years, they've been building an aura. And then you see that aura, and all of a sudden you go, this person, you know, this person is not for me. Or you go, I really like this person.
Yeah.
And television, I said it many times, television is much different than film. In film, you can get away with not liking you because it's 2 hours, you know, I can get up and walk away.
Sure.
Television, you got to be really likable, because you know what? If you're not likable when I'm in my home, I change the channel.
Yeah, it's true.
I change the channel. I'll deal with you in a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm not dealing with you on TV.
On a weekly basis, right?
No. And that's the great thing about Forrest. He's such a great actor, and he's so likable.
Oh, I know.
No matter what he does, he's got a straight razor. He's slicing somebody's throat.
Still, you're like, yeah, I get him.
You know, and you're rooting for him.
No. It's true.
You're rooting for Forrest.
You know, though, I will say I was a little worried because first season, Mamie got a lot of heat. She got a lot of heat for a lot of things that really, frankly, surprised me. So I was like, damn, people don't really like Mamie. But correct me if, you know, you can't, I feel like you can't go onto a set and do your job worrying about whether or not the audience is going to like you.
Oh, God.
You can't
first
do it.
First thing you got to do is don't read anything.
But come on.
No, let me tell you something. I know what you're going to ask me. I have not read a review in 30 years since Bronx Tale. I have been on an airplane and the New York Times has been there and I saw my picture in a review and I could turn the page.
This is discipline.
That's discipline.
Yeah.
But that's how you got to get. You know why? Because if you know you're good, you just do it and move on, because you can get 100 great reviews and the one review you don't like, that's the one you'll remember.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah. once you forget about them, then you give them the power, L. You have the power. You forget what they do.
Yeah.
Don't look at it. You're terrific. I think you shine in the show so much.
Yes.
And I think this is just the beginning of a incredible career for you. I want to thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much. Do you have anything coming up that you want to say? Or
well, what do I have? I mean, I'm auditioning my little heart out is what I'm doing these days.
Okay.
You're
on a great show. So that's it. That's it.
Well, I'm on a great show.
You're on a great show. And I want to have you on again, because you're just great. And you're a beautiful soul.
Thank you.
You really are. I want to, God bless you, your family, stay healthy. And as they say, I'll see you on the set.
I mean, look, I need them to lock you down, because Bonanno is,
But I know she's crazy.
He's great. Oh,
I know. Great. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chad.
God bless, honey.
You too, love.
All right. Bye.
See you.